Hello, it's Richard here. Just before the episode starts, a quick reminder that all the complete show notes for this episode, and every other episode for that matter, are sent out every week for free, and you can get a copy at thepublicrelationspodcast.com/subscribe, or just go to the website, thepublicrelationspodcast.com, and click the link for the newsletter. When you sign up to that, I also send out two articles from the PR manual instantly, one on how to write a press release that would have got me paying attention when I ran newsrooms, and the other on using artificial intelligence, AI, for public relations, and some of the things to watch out for. I hope you find those useful, and I hope you find this episode useful too. I was sitting down earlier today to think about what to put in this week's episode, and there were so many ideas out there, but I've had three really good conversations with listeners this week on Zoom and LinkedIn Messenger, and a common theme keeps coming up. It can be a challenge to get the media to notice your pitches right, and it isn't getting easier. This is what I keep hearing. Most pitches seem to be either ignored, and it's not just the media, but the public that we're trying to reach as well. If we can't get our message to the media, whether that's new media or traditional media, and we can't get that message to then resonate with the public, then we're really not getting very far. So why don't most pitches work? There's a lot of reasons, so I can't cover them all in one short episode. So what I'm going to do is to start covering a few of these points over the coming weeks and months. In other words, if you're not subscribed yet, make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter and to the show. And I've been compiling some pet peeves based on my experience as a news editor, what my audience wanted when I was doing that and reacted to, and in turn, what we need to actually produce from a PR perspective. And I've been asking journalist friends as well for you. I asked them completely off the record, so I don't want to attribute their names to anything. And I just asked them to be completely honest with me is what is wrong currently with most pitches that are coming to them. This first one then is one of the quickest that I think you can use very, very quickly. And so if you do want to stand out in your PR operation or your team, then try this one. I'm going to run through it, give some examples, and then I will run through some steps on how you can actually apply this. And the technique is about challenging the narrative. Now, what do I mean by challenging the narrative? There's a general narrative around everything. Everything that we do, everything that we see in the media, everything that we see in PR. You know, for example, banks are boring. Cruise ships are luxurious. Mobility scooters are boring. Remember that episode I did a few weeks ago where we were talking about how to promote those? When you try to pitch a story that is just more of the same, the media are going to go with the people they know. They've already got these people in the contacts book. They know the story. They know the narrative. They've got enough people to cover it. So why bother coming to you, the newcomer, the person that's trying to make a way into this? What if you said you are changing the way that banking works? And by doing that, people are going to save 10% more money simply by doing it differently. Immediately, you start to listen, right? What if I said my industry has been completely wrong about something for 10 years, and I now know that it is this way? How about a new airline who takes customer complaints seriously? That would be a new thing, wouldn't it? What if I said cruise ships aren't luxurious, but they could be? What if I said mobility scooters aren't exciting, but someone's just driven across the world in one and everyone is driving them these days? It's challenging the narrative. It's challenging people's perception of things. It's saying things that everyone thought were true aren't anymore. And guess what? When you do that, that's news. If you're the only one saying it, if you're the only one challenging the narrative, that makes you and your sort of organization newsworthy. You become the person to speak to, the PR person who's going to stand out. As a journalist, I suddenly want to speak to you. Not my usual contacts, but to you, because you've got a new, interesting story. By the way, all the notes on this, as usual, are in the PR manual on the website at thepublicrelationspodcast.com, and they're going to be in next week's newsletter, which you can get by going to thepublicrelationspodcast.com/subscribe. You know, a lot of people miss this opportunity to stand out. And this is not about spin. It's about looking at what you do and looking at what challenges the current narrative. I remember being at a conference a few years ago, and there was a dinner organized in the evening that I was invited to by a tech lobbying organization, and they got some of the startups around the table. And this was a few years ago now. And I was talking to these people who were making a battery for electric cars, which in itself is fairly dull. Everyone seemed to be doing it at the time. And when I asked them, well, you know, what are they doing with it? They told me about the chemistry and the process. And it was, I mean, frankly, I only carried on with the conversation because I was at dinner with them. So I started to dig into it, as I always try to do. And what I found out was that they were making a battery that charged, I think, double or triple the speed of any other battery at the time. Now, immediately, you're challenging the narrative. While everyone else was saying that it takes all night to charge batteries, as they were talking about at the time when I was at that event, here was someone who was saying, no, actually, you can do it several times faster. They were breaking the narrative. They were instantly newsworthy. You know, why did people cover Airbnb? They were saying all of a sudden that you can stay in other people's houses for cheap and safely. It challenged the narrative when everyone else was saying you can only stay safely in hotels. No wonder people were talking to them. They were different. They were newsworthy. It was worth interviewing them. So you want to start asking yourself, how are you rewriting the rule book? How are you challenging the narrative? How are you genuinely innovative? Why does this stuff work? As I say, I'll get to a few steps in a moment you can try so you can actually apply this in what you're doing today when you get to the office, or if you're there right now and you're listening to this while trying to take a break. So why does it work? Well, let's look at Newsroom 101 here, which my colleagues back me up on as well. People listen when their world changes. You know, it's why we listen to news for reassurance. We want to know our world is the same. And then when we know it's the same, we can ignore it and get on with our day happily and go back to our day and we forget what was in the news. What we notice is when the world changes. When someone comes along and says that things aren't the way we thought they were and backs that up with some evidence too, we immediately pay attention and we start to remember it. We notice when our world belief is challenged. That is news. The more you challenge, the better. And secondly, by challenging the narrative, you also challenge the established players who say this is the only way that it's possible. You know, as humans, we love any sort of level of disagreement or conflict. Why are reality TV shows so addictive to humans? Because we notice conflict. We immediately pay attention to it. We want to know which side to be on. We want to make our own judgment. And generally, people want to be on the easier and the newer side. And if the people we don't like are the established players, and established players always have a harder time to keep up a good reputation, we get instantly drawn to the upstart who's challenging this. As I say, we've talked about this before. Journalists can find hundreds of almost identical stories from people in a particular niche. What they can't find are stories that challenge the narrative, the normal thing. If you want the media to pay attention, this is a powerful way to do it and stand out in your PR team, or if you're in your organisation, if you're the only person there. Go on, keep going. I hope this is helping to give a bit of a fresh perspective on this. Let's look at another way, actually, that you can use this narrative challenging thing. Let's say you're in a business and I approach the industry's media in that sector and they're not paying attention to me. This was something I was actually talking to about with someone else this week. If you look at what you're putting out, is it pretty similar to everyone else? Now, it may be the case that actually you haven't really got a particularly strong, unique angle that you can put out there, or maybe it's just not strong enough. Well, where else are your target market? Are the people that you want to reach, the people you want to connect with? Often a different market has a different narrative. I went on a maths teacher's podcast once to talk about the power of podcasting. Can you see the connection? Nope. But I worked one out and pitched it. Lots of teachers either teach podcasting now or want to try it. And I'll tell you how I pitched to that show in the future, because it's another technique about bridging, which is a really powerful one too. But the point is that the teacher market has a different narrative to the one I was trying to reach with podcasting. No podcast industry media were going to talk to me, but the teachers did. And once you start to get in, once you start to get more of that stuff, you gain some social credibility, you gain some social validation, and you've got more chance of getting in with your established industry's media. Another aspect to this is remember that narrative is not just one thing in one country. Or we've got all these different micro communities now that I've talked about before. Now, this show, as I've mentioned before, I think, reaches 30 different countries. So if you're in Saudi Arabia or South Africa or Singapore, you're still going to have different ways of approaching things and different groups of people within that. So it's not just about the media that has a different narrative, but the different communities, cultures, age groups, etc. I'll give an example. This week, we've had these absolutely tragic events in Turkey with the earthquake. Now, I mean, the death toll is actually staggering. But the charities and the aid agencies' PR teams need to look at this coldly if they're going to achieve success here and say, okay, what do our potential donors perceive, the people who could give us money? To connect with them on a human level, we need to connect with their perception of what's going on. Now, whether you like it or not, and as always with this show, we're not talking about right or wrong, we're just talking about the techniques. In some places, in some countries, the Turkish earthquake is seen as the kind of thing that happens in other countries. Maybe the narrative is that there are poor building standards. It doesn't really matter what it is. The point is we need to match them where they are. So we need to then be showing to people it could happen to you, or make it more relatable. We need to try and show how these people are no different to you, no different to that person. We need to challenge the narrative, which is getting in the way of us getting the attention of those people. If we want people to remember, not just tomorrow, but in a week's time and a week after that's time, we've got to start making things new and different and challenge that narrative in their mind. Okay, what I'm going to do now is to share some steps to go through this. And I'd love to know what you get with this. If you want to run some ideas by me, by the way, and you're a subscriber to the newsletter, yes, the newsletter is free, feel free to run any ideas past me. You can find me on LinkedIn. I've talked about it before. You find me under Richard Midson, M-I-D-S-O-N. Now, I don't have a lot of time because this is still very much a hobby project for me, but I will try and reply if I have a moment. You can find me, as I say, Richard Midson, M-I-D-S-O-N. But give this a try first of all. Let me know what you come up with. So first of all, think about what it is that you're doing. And now think about the narrative. And remember, we're talking about the narrative of the industry. We're talking about the narrative of the media sector that you're approaching. And think about the narrative of the people that you're trying to connect with. The next question then is, what are we doing that is different? Now, an easy way to do this, of course, is to focus on the benefits of what you're doing, not features. So often you get press releases which do focus on features. I remember seeing something about a banking startup the other day that was just talking about, well, to be honest, I couldn't understand what the heck they were talking about. It was some kind of technical thing. They didn't talk about, well, how's it going to save me money? How's it going to save me time? So, as always, think about your benefits, not the features. And how is it that those benefits are going to buck the trend? How is it that they are challenging what the established norm is? Now, what evidence do you have to back that up? Remember, journalists, and I've heard this so much, you hear so much BS over the years that you just don't even hear pure hype. People put in these big words, you know, the groundbreaking or whatever, and it's so what? Just get to the point. Get it clear and get in that evidence fast. So what is challenging? How is it challenging the narrative? And back that up. Pick your evidence well as well. This was something else I had a conversation with a listener this week I was talking to. And they were talking about an industry that has some stigma associated to it by certain types of people, by certain demographic, who see the product as being used by only some other types of people, not like them. And the goal of the PR effort was to show that actually these very same suspicious people are also using it. So you want to be coming up with the case study that shows that those people use it. Again, we're challenging the narrative. That's what's going to make it stand out. And then the third thing is why challenging the narrative is going to help people. Really focus on that. Think about how this is going to make people. And again, we're appealing to those basic emotions. How's it going to make someone feel more empowered, richer, happier? The usual human emotions that we've talked about before. So you've got your three things there. It's challenging the narrative. You've got some evidence. And what's so great about it for people and what they're going to get by you challenging the narrative. And then you want to get that and those three points really in your press release or your Twitter DM pitch or your email, whoever you're trying to reach out to, with one clear narrative breaking point and the evidence to back that up. So to sum up for this week, for this point, as usual, I've gone on too long, haven't I? I hope these things are useful. Do let me know if they are, and I would love to know how you get on with them as well. The point this week, then, is to go against the narrative. Think about what is the narrative in your industry, in your sector, with the people that you're trying to appeal to, and be different. Challenge it. Say why it's wrong, and show how you can bring about a new approach. Why are you different? Why should you be noticed? Why should the journalist, why should the public talk to you and be interested in you? What are you doing? Let me know what you're up to. I would love to hear from you. As usual, the newsletter is at thepublicrelationspodcast.com/subscribe. It is completely free. And when you sign up for that as well, I'm now automatically sending out an article on press release writing and also that article all about AI and using it for PR. You can email me as well, info@thepublicrelationspodcast. And of course, you can find me on LinkedIn, Richard Midson, M-I-D-S-O-N. If you're a listener to the podcast or a subscriber to the newsletter, I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, have an absolutely awesome week. I will try and get out the latest on PR and AI this week as well, because there have been a few more developments since that last episode last week, and I will get you up to date with that. Stay tuned, stay subscribed, and I will speak to you real soon. Have a great time.